Health experts advising the public not to panic over the detection of the so-called stealth Omicron variant in the Philippines. Meanwhile, government gives workers in Metro Manila a 30-day deadline to complete their COVID-19 jabs or be subject to the no-vax, no-ride policy. The Philippines' poll body gearing up for 6 presidential and vice presidential debates. And a company owned by billionaire Manny Villar takes over some of ABS-CBN's former broadcast frequencies. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. We begin with the latest on the pandemic. Omicron is now the predominant variant of COVID-19 here in the Philippines. The health department says nearly 100% of the samples collected in January contained the highly contagious strain. Both sublineages of Omicron have also been detected in the country. The BA.2, known as the stealth Omicron, has become the predominant sublineage in most regions, while the BA.1 was detected in 8 regions and was found mostly in returning overseas Filipino workers. Health experts say there doesn't seem to be much difference between the two.
If it's causing more severe, or is it more severe than Omicron? I don't think so. For those vaccinated, I don't think it will evade immunity. If you recovered from an Omicron infection, I think your antibody against that will still protect you against that variant or lineage. And I don't think it can cause a more severe disease compared to Delta.
The Philippines logged 17,677 new COVID infections Tuesday. That's the lowest single-day case count since January 7th. The health department also recorded 79 additional deaths and 33,000 more recoveries. The number of active cases now at 247,000. 13 regions have been placed under critical risk. These include Bicol, the Cordillera Administrative Region, Western Visayas, and the Davao Region. Meanwhile, Metro Manila's COVID numbers continue to decline.
We were averaging about 15,000 cases, no? Average of 7 days last week. Ngayon po, ang average na lang 6,000. Kahapon po, nagtala ang NCR, 2,000 mahigit na lang na kaso. The growth rate has slowed. Nakita po natin, positivity rate also is going down, and our hospitals are being decongested. Bumagal na po ang admissions natin.
Pfizer and BioNTech start clinical trials of a new version of their vaccine, specifically designed to target the Omicron variant. The companies plan to test the immune response generated both as a 3-shot regimen in unvaccinated people and as a booster shot. They're also testing a 4th dose of the current vaccine against a 4th dose of the Omicron-based shot. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had said a 3rd dose of mRNA vaccines like Pfizer's provided 90% protection against hospitalization. The Philippine Medical Association gearing up for the vaccination of children aged 5 to 11 next week. The rollout for that age group begins February 4. Health experts are suggesting that a separate site be put up for the vaccination of minors. They also allay fears of some parents on the safety of the jabs.
Kasi ang problema natin kumisan, may pasok yung mga, ang dahilan nila, may pasok kami, hindi na madadala yung bata, pwede ba iba magdala, pwede po iba magdala, kaya nga lang maraming hinihiling na document. Marami pang dapat pag-usapan sa rollout kasi kakaiba yung rollout na ito ng mga bata kaysa sa matatanda.
Government gives a 30-day window for workers in Metro Manila to get fully vaccinated. Otherwise, they'll be subject to the no vaccination, no ride policy in Metro Manila's public transport. Transport officials reiterate the policy is not meant to discriminate but to protect the unvaccinated.
Ang decision pong ito ay hindi absolute sapagkat hindi po nito pinipigilan ang ating mga unvaccinated o partially vaccinated workers na bumiyahe matapos ang 30-day window. Maaari pa rin po silang bumiyahe, hindi nga lang gamit ang pampublikong transportasyon. kundi ang iba pang uri ng transportasyon gaya ng active transport, tricycle, private vehicles, gaya ng pribadong motorsiklo o kotse, o kaya naman ay kanilang mga company shuttle services. Hindi po ito nangangahulugan na wala na exemption sa polisiya. Ang dati pong abiso ngayon ay para lang, ang ating pong abiso ngayon ay para lang sa manggagawa. Exempted pa rin po sa polisiya ang mga kababayan nating may medical condition na pinagbabawalan sa pagkuha ng bakuna. Gayon din ang ating mga kababayan na mag-a-avail ng essential goods and services gaya ng pagkain, medical check-up at iba pa.
Manila's Chinese New Year festivities canceled once again due to the COVID pandemic. Manila Mayor Isko Moreno says dragon dances, street parades, and firecrackers are banned on January 31st and February 1. But Moreno says the occasion can still be celebrated by families in their homes. He's also keeping Chinatown in Manila's Binondo District open to tourists.
Ito ano lang naman, pag-iingat. So, pero sa mga bahay-bahay nila, or the family can get together, celebrate, and I hope they will also practice due diligence. But anything, public celebration, large activities is being prohibited. Lalo na yung, ano, yung dragon dance. Kasi talagang ano yun, nakaka-attract ng tao.
Over in the U.S., San Francisco officials are increasing police visibility during Chinese New Year celebrations as they seek to reassure Asian American communities of their safety. The city's police department will deploy more police officers in Chinatown starting February 1st, despite staffing shortages.
Footbeat deployment is high, is much more robust than it was only a couple years ago. We're having some challenges with COVID and this latest surge of COVID. A lot of our officers have been off sick, but we're going to continue to make it happen. We make the adjustments. You will see officers deployed and more officers deployed in Chinatown as well as other areas of the city. And we have to make adjustments constantly to make that happen, and we'll continue to do that.
Statistics show at least 60 hate crimes were committed against Asians in the city in 2021, up from only 9 in 2020. Deaths due to COVID-19 continue to rise in the U.S. despite declining infections. And as this report tells us, most of the fatalities are among the unvaccinated.
Even as COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations show signs of plateauing in hard-hit pockets of the United States, the still rising death toll from the Omicron variant highlights the trail of loss that follows every virus surge. An average of over 2,300 people, mostly unvaccinated, are dying each day due to the Omicron variant, which is up 30% from a week ago, according to a Reuters tally. That surpasses the height of deaths caused by the more severe Delta variant. As the highly contagious Omicron surged in December and earlier this month, hospital systems from New Jersey to New Mexico buckled under the sheer number of patients. Some brought in for Omicron, others for something else, only to discover they too had the virus. And while cases nationally are down by 12% in the last 7 days, Wafa El-Sadir, a professor of epidemiology and medicine at Columbia University in New York City, warned this does not spell the end of COVID.
I think for many people, there's been the sense of almost an anticipation or a hope that there'll be one day when COVID will be completely gone, that they'll wake up and say, okay, today there's no more COVID than yesterday there was COVID. This is very, very unlikely. It's very unlikely that we're going to be able to eliminate or even eradicate this virus. And therefore, the future, I think, is really all about how do we live with COVID, but also how do we minimize the risk, and particularly for the most vulnerable, how to protect them from COVID and its many complications.
One bright note Tuesday, despite the recent uptick in deaths, according to a new U.S. study, Omicron does appear to result in less severe infections than seen during previous waves, with shorter hospital stays, less need for intensive care, and fewer deaths as a percentage of overall cases. The study said the lower severity is likely related to higher vaccination rates, as well as prior infections providing some immune protection.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, under mounting pressure following fresh allegations, he attended a surprise birthday party last year when the whole nation was on lockdown. Here's the full story.
Potential breaches.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is in more hot water after allegedly breaking COVID-19 lockdown rules again. And now, after initially refusing to investigate, Britain's top police officer has said an investigation into the possible breaches has been opened. This time, Johnson is fighting fresh claims that he attended a surprise birthday party thrown for him in Downing Street at a time where social gatherings indoors were banned. According to UK broadcaster ITV, up to 30 people attended the event in the Cabinet Room of No. 10 on June 19, 2021, Johnson's office and residence. ITV alleges that Johnson was presented with a cake whilst Carrie, now his wife, led staff in a chorus of happy birthday. His office said Johnson attended for less than 10 minutes. And now the police will be investigating reported breaches after receiving evidence from an internal government probe into a series of gatherings. Here's London Police Chief Cressida Dick.
I can confirm that the Met is now investigating a number of events that took place at Downing Street and Whitehall in the last 2 years in relation to potential breaches of COVID-19 regulations.
Revelations of revelry, including boozy parties, suitcases of supermarket wine, a broken children's swing, a wine fridge, and jokes by staff about how to present such parties to reporters have hammered Johnson's approval ratings.
So I welcome the Met's decision to conduct its own investigation because I believe this will help to give the public the clarity it needs and help to draw a line under matters.
Johnson has given a variety of explanations about the previous allegations of frivolity. Initially, he said no rules had been broken, but then apologised to the British people for the apparent hypocrisy of such gatherings. An official investigation by Cabinet Office official Sue Gray into the parties is due to be published later this week.
The Netherlands lifting some of the toughest COVID restrictions in Europe starting Wednesday. Bars, restaurants and museums will be allowed to reopen their doors at a reduced capacity, but only to patrons who have a COVID pass. The reopening is in response to tensions with the catering and cultural sectors over a virtual lockdown imposed days before Christmas. The new policy comes as new infections run at around 60,000 per day. But intensive care admissions and deaths have dropped nationwide. South Korea reporting a fresh record number of new COVID cases. The single-day case count exceeded 13,000 for the first time on Wednesday. The government is now revising its COVID response to focus on the highly contagious but less lethal Omicron variant. A new testing policy is now in effect, under which only priority groups can take an RT-PCR test, while others should get a rapid antigen test. Government has also cut mandatory isolation for people who have been vaccinated but tested positive to 7 days from 10. Let's take a break now. Up ahead, the Commission on Elections releases more guidelines for the upcoming campaign period. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Health experts advising the public not to panic over the detection of the so-called stealth Omicron variant in the Philippines. Meanwhile, government gives workers in Metro Manila a 30-day deadline to complete their COVID-19 jabs or be subject to the no-vax, no-ride policy. The Philippines' poll body gearing up for six presidential and vice presidential debates. And a company owned by billionaire Manny Villar takes over some of ABS-CBN's former broadcast frequencies. Handshakes and selfies, those are just a couple of things the Philippine government has prohibited from prohibited politicians, rather, from doing during the campaign period for the May elections. Other banned activities include entering private dwellings of people during house-to-house campaigning, crowding, and the distribution of food or water. This also applies to political caucuses, meetings, and conventions. The Election Commission, meanwhile, says candidates are not required to get vaccinated against COVID before they can embark on their respective campaigns. The campaign period begins on February 8th for national aspirants and on March 25th for local contenders. The COMELEC finalizing a memorandum of agreement for upcoming presidential and vice presidential debates. The poll body will sponsor three presidential and three VP debates starting in late February. Local TV networks and online channels have also started interviewing presidential candidates in recent days. One of them became a hot topic after survey poll topper Ferdinand Marcos Jr. declined an invitation, citing supposed bias from its host. The COMELEC hopes this will not be the case for their upcoming debate.
We have very high expectations for all candidates to actually attend. But as far as commitment to attend or to participate, we don't have that yet either, not in writing, but we are very confident that we will have all of the candidates attending the debates.
Former government officials hit Ferdinand Marcos Jr. for his stance on making a statement of assets, liabilities, and net worth public after initially saying he won't release his salen if he wins the presidential election. Marcos now says he's willing to reveal it. Marcos had said his salen might be used against him by political opponents. Former government officials reject Marcos's reasoning.
Yung mga excuse na magagamit politically, eh, ang puntos ko, tumakbo ko eh. Be ready for that. Take it, bite it. Tanggapin mo yun as part of the game. Kung matapang ka at sigurado kang wala kang tinatago.
Gusto mo pumasok sa gobyerno, yun yung patakaran. If your salen is done properly, and you have, and everything is reported properly, it is supported by legitimate income, and you pay taxes properly on your legitimate income, then there's nothing to fear, right?
In business, a company owned by former senator and billionaire Manny Villar takes over some of ABS-CBN's former broadcast frequencies. Warren De Guzman found this report.
The National Telecommunications Commission has granted the use of two frequencies formerly held by ABS-CBN, our parent network, to Advanced Media Broadcasting System, or AMBS Incorporated, which is linked to billionaire and former politician Manny Villar. The NTC says an order promulgated on January 5th of this year granted AMBS a provisional authority to operate a digital television broadcasting system in Metro and Mega Manila using Channel 16, which ABS-CBN had previously used to run Studio 23. NTC says AMBS was the first applicant for an authority to install, operate, and maintain a digital TV in Metro Manila with its application filed on October 5th, 2006. And it has been waiting since 2006 for an available digital frequency. The NTC also allowed AMBS to use an analog channel, Channel 2, also previously held by ABS-CBN. The NTC says the use of Channel 2 by AMBS is temporary and will last only until all analog channels are shut off, and that is scheduled for 2023 as part of the Philippines' full transition into digital television. The NTC also shared a copy of the order, and based on the order, AMBS has total assets of about 35.7 million pesos, with just 1.6 million pesos in liabilities and 34 million pesos in equity. AMBS had quoted the setup of its digital TV broadcast station would cost around 28.5 million pesos. Villar's net worth is estimated by Forbes at around $7.3 billion, or roughly 373 billion pesos, including interests in listed companies such as property developer Vista Land and Lifescapes, retailers All Homes and Vista Malls, and the growing water utility company Prime Water. Forbes says he is the second richest in the Philippines, behind only the C siblings of SM. We've reached out to the Villar family for comment. They have yet to respond.
That is a report by our very own Warren de Guzman. Justice Secretary Minardo Guevara has confirmed that his department issued an opinion cited by the NTC as basis for awarding ABS-CBN's old frequencies to Villar's ABMS. But Guevara says the opinion did not mention any particular parties. Villar's daughter-in-law, Emeline Aglipay Villar, is a justice undersecretary. Meanwhile, a network owned by controversial religious leader Pastor Apollo Kiboloy has been granted a frequency previously controlled by Amcara Broadcasting Network. Our correspondent Chrislyn Bulosa now joins us on the line with more details. Chrislyn, go ahead.
Carmina, the Sunshine Media Network International, or SMNI, a broadcast company owned by Kingdom of Jesus Christ founder and religious leader Pastor Apollo Kiboloy, was granted the broadcast frequency for Channel 43 by the National Telecommunications Commission. This was confirmed by SMNI President Dr. Marlon Rosete himself to ABS-CBN News just this morning. As of now, SMNI's programs are aired live via its Facebook page and YouTube channel. When we asked Mr. Rosete on when do they plan to air their programs using Code 43, he just simply said that they will start soonest. As of now, we are still trying to get a statement from NTC about this matter. And that is still the latest update here from Davao City, Chris Bendulos on ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Chris, and take care and you keep safe. The International Monetary Fund cuts its 2022 global growth forecast, citing weaker prospects for U.S. and China's economies. It sees the global economy growing 4.4% this year, down from the previous 4.9% forecast. For 2023, it expects a 3.8% growth. The IMF says U.S. economic growth could be slower this year due to the outlook for President Joe Biden's spending agenda and the Federal Reserve's policy tightening. As for China, the IMF cites challenges in real estate as one of the biggest risks for its economy. The global lender also warns of inflationary risks due to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine.
You know, consequences for the energy markets would be a further increase in prices of oil and natural gas, and therefore of energy costs more broadly for many countries in the world. So in terms of headline inflation numbers, that certainly could keep headline inflation much more elevated for longer. Of course, we are hoping, like all of the international community is, that there can be a peaceful resolution to this issue.
The IMF did not release an updated growth forecast for the Philippines in October. It lowered the Philippine growth outlook to 6.3% from 7% for 2022, below government's target of 7-9%. The ASEAN Plus 3 Macroeconomic Research Office, or AMRO, cuts its growth forecast for the Philippines this year, citing the country's services sector. Warren de Guzman returns with this report.
The ASEAN Plus 3 Macroeconomic Research Office, or AMRO, says the Philippines is more susceptible to mobility restrictions enacted to counter spikes in COVID-19 cases because its economy is reliant on consumerism.
If they are able to open up the economy more fully, that would help the services sector to recover much more robustly. But at the same time, because of the high dependence on the services sector, if they have to close down for any reason because of a new outbreak, more infectious and more severe mutation of the virus, then I think the Philippines will be affected more.
AMRO raised its 2021 growth forecast for the Philippines to 4.9% from 4.3%, but cut its 2022 growth forecast for the Philippines to 6.2% from 6.7%. Now, these are actually better compared to most ASEAN economies and even the regional forecast, but they are lower than the government's own forecasts for both 2021 and 2022. The Philippines is credited with having one of the longest pandemic lockdowns in the world. During the lockdown, unemployment surged to an all-time high of 17.7%, while the economy shrank 9.5% in 2020, the worst recession since World War II. Mobility restrictions were eased in 2021, and growth has come back to some extent. The full-year 2021 growth figures come out Thursday. But AMRO says the Philippine economic recovery is still fragile, so the Philippine Central Bank should continue supporting it.
BSP should hold until the recovery is stronger. Because of the Delta variant, you know, the recovery was weaker last year than we had expected. The inflation was high last year relative to, you know, most other countries in the region. But the inflation was caused mostly by supply-side disruption because of the swine fever and also because of high oil prices. So we have seen inflation starting to come down. And already, I think it is it's below the upper band of the inflation band. And we expect it to stay within the band this year and for next year as well.
AMRO adds, the Philippines has the space to do this, even with the threat of capital flight as the U.S. Federal Reserve hikes interest rates, because of its gross international reserves, which as of end 2021 stands at $108.9 billion. The Philippine Central Bank says that is good for 10.3 months' worth of imports of goods and services, or 8.8 times the Philippines' short-term external debt. Warren de Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
The International Monetary Fund urges El Salvador to remove Bitcoin as legal tender. The IMF Board of Directors stress there are large risks associated with the use of the cryptocurrency on financial stability, financial integrity, and consumer protection. It also warned about the high levels of volatility in Bitcoin's exchange rate. Bitcoin was trading at about $37,000 Tuesday, having lost about half of its value compared to the record of $67,734 it hit in November. In September, the Central American nation became the first country in the world to embrace Bitcoin as a currency, allowing consumers to use it in all transactions alongside the U.S. dollar. General Motors is pouring $7 billion to boost its production of electric pickups, intensifying a battle for electric vehicle supremacy in the U.S. More in this report.
General Motors is putting the pedal to the metal in its race toward an electric vehicle future. The company announced Tuesday it will invest $7 billion in Michigan, much of that aimed at dramatically boosting production of full-size electric pickups. CEO Mary Barra said the investment will benefit four Michigan manufacturing sites and will create 4,000 jobs.
The $7 billion investment is the largest in GM's history, and it's so appropriate that it's in Michigan. It includes a new Ultium Cell LLC battery plant, will be located near Lansing, as well as the conversion of our assembly plant in Orion Township for the production of the Chevrolet Silverado and the GMC Sierra EV pickups.
GM said its Detroit, Hamtramck, and Orion Township plants will be able to build more than 600,000 electric trucks a year by late 2024, including different variations of the new Chevrolet Silverado and GMC Sierra electric pickups.
And altogether, we will have more than 1 million units of EV capability in North America by the end of 2025.
Tuesday's announcement intensifies a battle with Ford for EV dominance in North America. In January, Ford said it will have the annual capacity to build 600,000 electric vehicles within 24 months. But both Ford and GM will have to contend with the current EV leader, Tesla. It will soon open a second U.S. plant in Austin, Texas, and is on pace to sell more than 1 million electric vehicles globally in 2022.
Going to take a break. Still ahead, Ukraine's president downplays the growing threat of an invasion by Russia. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. A low-pressure area and a shear line expected to bring moderate to heavy rains over several parts of the Philippines. ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas now joins us for a weather update. Ariel, over to you.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. The low-pressure area was last spotted over the coastal waters of Sumisip, Pasilan. It is expected to move over the Sulusi this afternoon, cross the southern part of Palawan, and emerge over the West Philippine Sea tomorrow. PAGASA says the LPA is not expected to develop into a tropical cyclone, and no other weather disturbance is expected until February. The LPA and the shear line or the tail end of the frontal system will bring at times heavy rains over Calabarzon, Bicol Region, Mimaropa, Western and Central Visayas, Zamboanga Peninsula, Basilan, Sulu, and Tawi-Tawi. The residents of these areas should remain alert against the threats of flooding and landslides. Amihan, meanwhile, will bring light rains over the Cagayan Valley, Apayao, Kalinga, Mountain Province, Ifugao, and Aurora. Here in Metro Manila, rain should be expected this afternoon up to early evening, so please don't forget your umbrellas. And thunderstorms are also possible this afternoon or evening in Central Visayas and the rest of Mindanao. Small sea crafts are not allowed to venture out in Batanes and the northern seaboards of Ilocos Norte and Cagayan due to big waves from Amihan. And that's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel Rojas, there joining us today. Ariel, take care and you keep safe. World news now. The death toll from last week's airstrikes on a detention center in Yemen rises to 91. 236 others were wounded. A Saudi-led coalition battling the Houthi denied the detention center was targeted. It also accused Houthi forces of spreading misinformation about the attack. In Mexico, a reporter who feared for her life was shot dead. And as this report tells us, the victim was the second journalist killed in the same area in a week.
Journalists protested outside of the municipal police headquarters in Tijuana, Mexico, Monday, after a second Mexican reporter was killed in a week, underscoring the country's status as one of the deadliest for journalists outside a war zone. The Attorney General's Office of Baja California State reported that Lourdes Maldonado, a local journalist with decades of experience, was shot dead in her car on Sunday in the Santa Fe neighborhood of the bustling border city of Tijuana, just south of San Diego, California. Her death comes 3 years after she told Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador at a press conference that she feared for her life. Obrador on Monday promised a full investigation. A source with knowledge of the case said Maldonado had been registered in the state's protection program for journalists, which included some police surveillance of her home. Maldonado's colleague and friend, Octavio Favela, condemned the fact that she wasn't protected.
The mechanism should have had a patrol car patrolling permanently outside of Lord's home. And they didn't do it. How is it possible that someone can come to kill a person that needs to be protected? The murderer comes, waits for her, and then leaves just like that? How is that possible?
From 2000 to 2021, human rights group Article 19 has registered 145 killings of journalists in Mexico, with 7 deaths last year. The killing of Maldonado occurred less than a week after officials reported that Mexican photojournalist Margarito Martinez died after being shot in the head outside his home in Tijuana. Maldonado was the third journalist killed this year in Mexico.
U.S. President Joe Biden eyes direct sanctions against his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin if Russia invades the Ukraine. Washington has generally refrained from sanctioning leaders of foreign countries, but Biden stressed if Putin goes to Ukraine, there will be consequences. Biden also says 8,500 American troops are now on high alert and are ready to provide support to NATO allies in the face of Russia's military buildup.
I may be moving some of those troops in the nearer term just because it takes time. And again, it's not provocative. It's just exactly what I said, is that as long as we have to reassure, if you notice, you don't see a lot of concern in terms of their security of our, and of our NATO allies in Western Europe. But in Eastern Europe, there's reason for concern. that are along the Russian border, there's the Belarus border. So everyone from Poland on has reason to be concerned about what would happen and what spillover effects could occur.
The Kremlin, meanwhile, accuses Washington of escalating tensions with its actions and statements about Ukraine. It adds Russia is watching the possible deployment of U.S. troops to Europe with great concern. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calls for calm amid the threat from Russia. Zelensky says they are currently setting up a meeting between him and leaders of Russia, France, and Germany. He adds this week's withdrawal of personnel from Western embassies in Kyiv does not signal that a military escalation with Russia was inevitable. Tensions are high after Russia amassed an estimated 100,000 troops in reach of Ukraine's border, but Russia denies planning an invasion. And let's take another look at today's top stories. Omicron is now the predominant variant of COVID-19 here in the Philippines. The health department says nearly 100% of the samples collected in January contained the highly contagious strain. Both sublineages of Omicron have also been detected in the country. The BA.2, known as the stealth Omicron, has become the predominant sublineage in most regions, while the BA.1 was detected in 8 regions and was found mostly in returning overseas Filipino workers. Health experts say there doesn't seem to be much difference between the two.
If it's causing more severe, or is it more severe than Omicron? I don't think so. For those vaccinated, I don't think it will evade immunity. If you recovered from an Omicron infection, I think your antibody against that will still protect you against that variant or lineage. And I don't think it can cause a more severe disease compared to Delta.
The Philippines logged 17,677 new COVID infections Tuesday. That's the lowest single-day case count since January 7th. The health department also recorded 79 additional deaths and 33,000 more recoveries. The number of active cases now at 247,000. 13 regions have been placed under critical risk classification. These include Bicol, the Cordillera Administrative Region, Western Visayas, and the Davao Region. Meanwhile, Metro Manila's COVID numbers continue to decline.
We were averaging about 15,000 cases, no, average of 7 days last week. Ngayon po, ang average na lang 6,000. Kahapon po, nagtala ang NCR, 2,000 mahigit na lang na kaso. The growth rate has slowed. Nakita po natin, positivity rate also is going down and our hospitals are being decongested. Bumagal na po ang admissions natin.
The Philippine Medical Association gearing up for the vaccination of children aged 5 to 11 next week. The rollout for that age group begins February 4. Health experts are suggesting that a separate site be put up for the vaccination of minors. They also allay fears of some parents on the safety of the jabs.
Kasi ang problema natin kumisan, may pasok yung mga, ang dahilan nila, may pasok kami, hindi na madadala yung bata, pwede ba iba magdala? Pwede po iba magdala, kaya nga lang maraming hinihiling na document. Marami pang dapat pag-usapan sa rollout kasi kakaiba yung rollout na ito ng mga bata kaysa sa matatanda.
Government gives a 30-day window for workers in Metro Manila to get fully vaccinated. Otherwise, they'll be subject to the no vaccination and no ride policy in Metro Manila's public transport. Transport officials reiterate the policy is not meant to discriminate, but to protect the unvaccinated.
Ang decision pong ito ay hindi absolute sapagkat hindi po nito pinipigilan ang ating mga unvaccinated o partially vaccinated workers na bumiyahe matapos ang 30-day window. Maaari pa rin po silang bumiyahe, hindi nga lang gamit ang pampublikong transportasyon, kundi ang iba pang uri ng transportasyon gaya ng active transport, tricycle, private vehicles, gaya ng pribadong motorsiklo o kotse, o kaya naman ay kanilang mga company shuttle services. Hindi po ito nangangahulugan na wala na exemption sa polisiya. Ang dati pong abiso ngayon ay para lang, ang ating pong abiso ngayon ay para lang sa manggagawa. Exempted pa rin po sa polisiya ang mga kababayan nating may medical condition na pinagbabawalan sa pagkuha ng bakuna. Gayun din ang ating mga kababayan na mag-a-avail ng essential goods and services gaya ng pagkain, medical check-up at iba pa.
In sports, the struggling Los Angeles Lakers got their all-star big man back as they defeated the Brooklyn Nets 106-96. Anthony Davis returned from a 17-game absence due to a knee injury, finishing with 8 points and 4 blocks in limited minutes. The Lakers went 7-10 while Davis was out. The Lakers are currently in seventh place in the Western Conference standings. The Philippine Basketball Association hoping to get the nod of the Metro Manila Development Authority to hold team practices in various cities. That's despite the current restrictions in Metro Manila, which is under Alert Level 3. PBA Commissioner Willie Marshall met with MMDA Chair Benher Abalos Tuesday to outline the league's proposal. The PBA is hoping to restart the Governor's Cup early February after the surge in COVID-19 cases halted games last December 19th. The Philippines' new world boxing champion, Mark Magnifico Magsayo, paying it forward. Ms. Dawn Tagala tells us Magsayo is hoping his success will inspire young fighters to chase their dreams.
Just days after Mark Magnifico Magsayo realized his dream of becoming a WBC featherweight champion, he has become an inspiration to the youth, including Filipino-American Tyler Tuazon.
It just felt really good just watching the fight and then getting the glove, getting my, not, like getting this glove signed.
While taking some time off after his big fight in Atlantic City, the Pinoy champ wasted no time using his newfound platform to positively influence the youth.
He was a 4-1 betting underdog. So many people were discounting him. He came in there against a former Olympian, the longest reigning champion in boxing, and he left with the world championship.
So, I started a fight at 8 years old, same as you guys.
8 years old?
8 years old.
Wow.
And nobody's believed me in. I've become a world champion. So I work hard, dedication, discipline. So.
And how old are you now, Mark?
26 years old.
26.
Magsaya's surprise visit to this local boxing gym in North Bergen, New Jersey, inspired these amateur boxers.
It's a blessing. We're right next to a champion and stuff. It inspires me. It makes me feel like maybe someday I'd be up there as well.
Now it looks really nice. It's motivation to all of us.
Ring Magazine journalist Ryan Sangalia, who is also the gym manager and trainer at this gym, says Magsayo's life story alone is a source of inspiration for his students.
For the kids to see that someone who comes from humble beginnings, in many ways more humble than most of these kids will ever see, that he was able to become a world champion and make his dreams come true. So he's spread a message of positivity, just that like hard work and dedication, it really pays off.
It really shows that sometimes if you really try hard enough, you can achieve your goals.
Magsayo says he also drew inspiration from his idol and mentor, boxing champ Manny Pacquiao.
Naging champion siya at ngayon naging champion din ako.
Magsayo is hopeful that these young boxers who look up to him will follow in his footsteps and become world champions one day. Don Tagala, ABS-CBN News, North Bergen, New Jersey.
A travel website names Boracay as the second most Instagrammable place in the world. Big 7 Travel has recently revealed its list of 50 most Instagrammable spots for 2022. Singapore topped the list, which also included Tokyo, New York City, and Lisbon. Boracay is known for its powdery white sand and crystal clear waters. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com.
Direct, do we have Zamora? Wala extra.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast can be played back on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.